During Memorial Day at Lowe's, shop household must-haves for less. Save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill to chef up something special. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep things fresh. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Sylvia's Synergy Effect, brought to you by Synergy Home Care.
Getting back in the kitchen got mom back into life. After her stroke, she felt uncomfortable doing what she used to do. But with her Synergy caregiver, Emma, things changed. She got help at home and regained the confidence to get back to her old recipes. Now the hardest thing is getting mom to stop making her biscuits. So good.
We believe getting back to what you love can keep you moving forward. Find your Synergy Effect with Synergy Home Care.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
Brad's great uncle Warren had always been the kind of man people tolerated more than understood. He lived alone in the same old brick house for nearly 40 years, rarely left town, and had a habit of saying things that made conversations stop cold for a second before everyone awkwardly laughed and moved on. At family gatherings, Warren usually sat apart from everyone else on the screened porch with a cup of coffee in his hands, quietly observing people in a way that often made Brad feel like he was being studied instead of simply watched. Mostly people just called him eccentric and moved on. But during the last year of his life, some of the things Warren said started feeling stranger to Brad. He would show up after work and find coffee already waiting before he even knocked on the door. Sometimes Warren would ask oddly specific questions the second Brad walked inside. Had he taken the interstate? Was his phone charged? Was he heading home before the rain started? Brad brushed most of it off because lonely old people said odd things sometimes. And then Warren died, 72 years old. Massive stroke sometime during the night. A neighbor found him sitting in his recliner 2 days later with the television still on. After the funeral, cleaning out the house naturally fell to Brad and his mother, because nobody else had really been around much near the end anyway. By the time Brad pulled into the driveway that Saturday afternoon, rain clouds had swallowed most of the sky. Wind moved through the huge maple trees hanging over the yard while leaves scraped across the cracked driveway. The old brick house looked exactly the same as it had when Brad was a kid, right down to the sagging porch rail and the yellow porch light glowing beside the front door in the middle of the day. For a strange second, he caught himself expecting Warren to answer the door. The feeling hit him harder than he expected. For the next few hours, he and his mother worked mostly in silence. She handled the upstairs bedrooms while Brad worked through the kitchen downstairs. The house smelled stale, like dust and old coffee and wood that had been shut up too long, and everything still looked strangely lived in. Coupons remained clipped beside the refrigerator. A grocery list still hung near the phone. Coffee grounds still sat inside the machine. It didn't feel like a dead man's house. It felt like Warren had stepped out for groceries and simply hadn't come back yet. Rain tapped steadily against the windows while Brad threw away expired food and wrapped dishes in newspaper. Every now and then he could hear his mother dragging boxes across the floor upstairs, but otherwise the house remained completely quiet. Around 4 o'clock, Brad climbed onto the counter to reach the cabinet, above the refrigerator, where he found an old rectangular tin with faded cherries printed across the lid. He expected recipes or photographs inside, and instead, there was only a single envelope. His name was written across the front in Warren's handwriting, just Brad. A strange feeling moved through him. Immediately. Not fear exactly, but the sudden awareness that he was very alone in the house. Without really thinking about it, he slipped the envelope into the back pocket of his jeans and went back to cleaning. He lasted maybe 10 minutes. There was a screened porch off the kitchen overlooking the backyard where Warren used to sit during family gatherings while everyone else stayed inside watching football. Brad stepped out there and shut the screen door behind him while rain drummed softly against the aluminum roof overhead. Inside the envelope were several sheets of lined notebook paper folded carefully into thirds. The first thing that unsettled him was the handwriting. It was perfectly calm and perfectly steady, with every line sitting neatly inside the margins and every page numbered carefully in the corner. This was not the writing of somebody confused or unraveling. At the top of the first page, Warren explained that he had waited as long as he could before leaving the letter behind. Brad immediately expected something sentimental after that. Instructions about belongings, maybe. Family history. Regrets. Instead, Warren wrote that none of this had started as something frightening. The letter explained that when Warren was 37 years old, he began having recurring dreams about an elderly man sitting at his kitchen table late at night. Not nightmares, just conversations. The old man always wore the same dark overcoat and drank tea from the same plain white mug. According to Warren, he never acted threatening or strange and behaved more like someone continuing a discussion already in progress than some terrifying figure invading his dreams. The first thing the old man ever told him was that his sister would call before breakfast the next morning. She did. Then he warned Warren about ice beneath the loading dock stairs at work. Warren ignored him and slipped exactly where the old man said he would. After that, the predictions became larger. A warehouse fire, a failed engagement, his father's stroke. Every one of them happened. Brad found himself reading faster as the rain continued tapping overhead. Warren wrote that he spent years trying to explain the dreams logically through stress, coincidence, or insomnia. But the old man kept returning, and the things he knew became harder and harder to dismiss. What unsettled Brad most was the way Warren described him. Not evil. That exact word had been underlined heavily in the letter. The old man never threatened him, never screamed, and never demanded anything. He simply knew things. Over time, Warren admitted he had started looking forward to the dreams because the old man warned him about arguments before they happened, deaths in the family, and moments Warren later realized had been the last good versions of certain people before life changed forever. According to Warren, the old man always insisted he was only trying to help. Near the bottom of the fourth page, Warren explained that he had argued against writing the letter for Brad in the first place, but according to him, the old man insisted Brad would eventually understand. Brad stared at that sentence for a long moment. The next page contained a strange list of dates, objects, and short observations that mostly meant nothing to him. A yellow lighter, a second voicemail he apparently should not answer, a deer standing near a bridge. Then he reached the final paragraph. It described a red coffee mug breaking in Brad's kitchen on a Tuesday morning. It mentioned him standing barefoot on the tile floor before stepping backward onto one of the broken pieces and cutting his heel. Brad stopped breathing. 3 days earlier, he had shattered a red coffee mug before work. He had stepped backward, cut his heel, and cleaned up the mess before leaving for the office. Nobody knew about it. He hadn't even mentioned it to his girlfriend afterward because it had seemed too minor and stupid to bring up. The porch suddenly felt colder around him. Brad slowly looked toward the dark reflection in the porch window behind him before lowering his eyes back to the letter. The final line sat alone at the bottom of the page. Warren wrote that he was sorry if the old man eventually started visiting Brad too. Brad took the letter home and spent the next several days trying to convince himself he was overreacting. That became the explanation he repeated to himself constantly. The coffee mug had been a coincidence. The details only felt disturbing because Warren had died recently and Brad's brain wanted the letter to mean something more than it actually did. except he kept rereading the letter anyway. Every time he decided he was finished with it, he found himself unfolding the pages again an hour later and scanning through Warren's careful handwriting as if he had missed something important the first 10 times. By Monday night, he had practically memorized sections of it, especially the strange list near the end. The yellow lighter, the second voicemail, the deer near the bridge. The phrases still meant nothing to him, but the more he stared at them, the less random they started to feel. Tuesday night, Brad finally told his girlfriend Misty about the letter while the two of them sat eating takeout on the couch. At first, she listened quietly, but halfway through explaining the coffee mug part, Brad could hear how ridiculous the story sounded out loud. Warren had written down an accident before it happened. An old man appeared in dreams predicting the future. Even hearing himself explain it made him feel embarrassed. Misty eventually asked whether Warren had ever mentioned any of this before he died. Brad told her not directly, although the more he thought about it, the more he realized Warren had spent years saying strange things that never fully made sense at the time. Misty tried reassuring him that grief could make people see patterns where none existed, and Brad nodded along because logically he knew she was probably right. Still, later that night, after Misty had gone to bed, he found himself reading the letter again. Around 2:30 in the morning, Brad woke suddenly after hearing something move in the kitchen. It wasn't loud, just a faint scrape against the floor that seemed strange enough to pull him awake instantly. For several seconds, he stayed still, listening. Nothing followed. Beside him, Misty continued sleeping peacefully. Brad eventually got out of bed and walked down the hallway toward the kitchen, expecting to find one of the cats climbing across the counters. The apartment was dark except for the small light above the stove that he realized he must have forgotten to turn off before bed. The kitchen was empty. Still, one of the chairs sat slightly pulled away from the table, just enough that somebody could have recently stood up from it. Brad stared at it longer than he wanted to admit before finally pushing it back into place and heading to bed. The letter was getting into his head, that was all. But when sleep finally came again, he dreamed. In the dream, he was standing in Warren's kitchen while rain tapped softly against the windows. The room looked exactly as it had the weekend before, right down to the grocery list still hanging beside the phone and the old ceiling fan turning slowly overhead. Someone sat at the kitchen table. An elderly man wearing a dark overcoat rested both hands around a plain white mug while calmly watching Brad from across the room. The strangest part was not fear. Brad immediately recognized the feeling Warren had tried describing in the letter. It felt less like meeting someone new and more like stepping back into the middle of a conversation already happening. The old man spoke quietly, warning Brad there would be a dog loose in the intersection near his office the next morning and telling him not to swerve when he saw it. Then Brad woke up. For nearly an hour, he lay staring at the ceiling while rain continued tapping softly outside the apartment windows. He kept telling himself the dream made perfect sense. He had spent days obsessing over Warren's letter, so naturally his brain had turned it into a dream. Still, the entire drive to work the next morning felt tense. And then, less than 2 blocks from his office, a golden retriever suddenly ran into the street directly in front of his car. Brad slammed on the brakes so hard his coffee flew out of the cup holder. For one terrifying second, instinct told him to jerk the wheel away from the dog. Instead, he held the car straight. The dog darted safely past the bumper while another vehicle sped through the intersection beside him, fast enough that swerving likely would have caused a collision. Brad sat there gripping the steering wheel while his pulse hammered in his ears. That night he reread Warren's letter again. The next dream came easier. Once again, he found himself standing in Warren's kitchen while rain tapped softly against the windows. The old man sat in the same chair wearing the same overcoat, stirring tea inside the white mug as if no time had passed since the night before. This time the old man warned him about a phone call from his younger brother and told him he needed to answer immediately when it came. Normally he would have ignored it and called back later. Instead, he stepped out into the hallway and answered. Their mother had slipped in a grocery store parking lot and hit her head badly enough to need stitches. By the time Brad reached the hospital, she was already joking with nurses and insisting everyone was overreacting. But the timing still left him shaken in a way he could not explain. After that, the dreams kept coming. Sometimes the warnings involved small things that barely mattered. A canceled meeting, a flat tire, a coworker unexpectedly quitting. Other times they felt deeply personal, and those were the ones that unsettled Brad most because he slowly realized he had started listening to the old man before making decisions. One Friday night, the old man warned him not to bring up marriage during dinner with Misty. Brad ignored him. The conversation turned into the worst argument they had ever had. Afterward, Brad sat alone in his car outside their apartment complex, realizing something that frightened him far more than the dreams themselves. Without fully meaning to, he had started depending on them. Over the next several weeks, Brad's life slowly began arranging itself around the dreams. At first, he told himself he was simply being cautious, but before long, he started going to bed earlier on purpose because part of him wanted the dreams to come. He kept a notebook beside the bed and wrote everything down the second he woke up, afraid he might miss some detail that mattered later. The old man always appeared the same way, wearing the same dark overcoat and sitting with the same white mug resting between his hands while rain tapped softly against the kitchen windows behind him. That was what disturbed Brad most. The dreams never felt chaotic or frightening in the way nightmares usually did. They felt calm and strangely familiar, like conversations with someone who genuinely believed he was helping. Misty started noticing changes in him before Brad realized how obvious they had become. He hesitated before making decisions, took different routes home from work for no clear reason, and checked his phone constantly, as though waiting for something bad to happen. Some nights he barely spoke during dinner because he seemed distracted by thoughts he could not explain. Whenever she asked what was wrong, Brad blamed stress because it was easier than trying to explain the truth. The dreams also started changing in subtle ways. At first, Brad thought he imagined it, but eventually he became certain the kitchen no longer looked exactly like Warren's. Small details shifted from dream to dream. The curtains above the sink looked different. The refrigerator magnets changed. One night, Brad noticed his own coffee maker sitting on the counter beside the stove. Another night, he realized the grocery list hanging near the phone was written in his own handwriting instead of Warren's. That frightened him enough that he finally asked the old man who he really was. The old man smiled slightly at the question, almost as though he had expected it eventually, and calmly explained that he was simply someone who had learned how to look ahead. Nothing more. Brad asked why Warren had seemed so uneasy near the end of his life, and for the first time, the old man looked genuinely sad. He explained that eventually people stopped living normally once they realized how much pain could be avoided. They stopped trusting instinct or chance and instead waited for warnings before making decisions. The old man insisted that had never been his intention. But by then, Brad already understood exactly what he meant because it was happening to him too. One night, Misty found the notebook beside the bed and started flipping through pages filled with predictions, dates, and half-written observations. Brad tried explaining the dreams and Warren's letter, but halfway through hearing himself say it out loud, he realized how impossible it sounded. Misty finally asked him whether he genuinely believed some spirit had attached itself to him through Warren. Brad could not answer her. A week later, she left to stay with her sister for a while. After she drove away, Brad sat alone in the apartment, staring through the blinds at the empty parking space outside for nearly an hour. The apartment felt strangely hollow without her there. And for the first time since Warren died, Brad began wondering whether the old man had ever truly been helping anyone at all. That night, he dreamed again. Rain tapped softly against the windows while the old man sat waiting at the kitchen table. Except this time, it was no longer Warren's kitchen. It was Brad's apartment. The cabinets, the overhead light, even the shape of the table were all his. The old man looked exhausted as he quietly explained there was still time to stop. When Brad asked how, the old man told him that people became trapped because they stopped accepting uncertainty. Knowing too much about tomorrow poisoned the present, and Warren had learned that too late. When Brad woke before dawn, rain was falling outside the apartment windows. For the first time in weeks, he deliberately stayed awake the following night. No dream came. The same thing happened the next night and then the next after that. Slowly, the tension in his chest began easing. Work started feeling normal again. Misty answered his texts more often. Brad stopped carrying the notebook around the apartment and eventually shoved Warren's letter into the back of a dresser drawer. For a while, life almost felt ordinary again. Then one night, near the end of November, Brad woke around 3 a.m. needing water. The apartment was dark and silent as he walked down the hallway toward the kitchen, but halfway there he stopped. Someone was sitting at the table. At first, he could only make out the outline of an old man wearing a dark overcoat beneath the faint light above the stove. A white mug rested between his hands exactly the way it always had in the dreams. Brad felt every muscle in his body lock instantly. The old man looked up at him with the same patient expression Brad had seen night after night, then calmly told him he had left his headlights on downstairs. Nothing else. A moment later, the kitchen was empty. Brad stood frozen in the hallway before finally forcing himself toward the window. Below him in the parking lot, his car headlights glowed brightly through the rain. For several long seconds, he simply stared at them. Then, very slowly, he looked back toward the empty kitchen table and finally understood what had truly frightened Warren near the end of his life. It wasn't the predictions themselves. It was the realization that eventually, after enough warnings came true, you stopped questioning whether the old man would appear and started wondering what would happen if one night he didn't.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily.
And the best part?
Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily.
And the best part?
Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spin on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.